Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called
Jack Black stunt double or something like that, or at least a bouncer in a good club, like a good strip club or something. And I mean, how did you do it, man? Just portion control, or did you cut your stomach up, whatever?
Well, yeah, I mean, I still eat like an eighth grader, but I eat less.
But like an eighth grader Somalia, or an eighth grader?
Like, I swear, there was a week not too long ago where I ate nothing but sandwiches, three meals a day. But it was 2,000 calories of total sandwiches, so that's okay.
He also dates like an eighth grader. Let's waste time.
What if they weren't eighth graders?
Oh my god, this first segment. It's called This Once Today Once, Mr. Portella. On this date, 1961, Forrest Whitaker, American actor, director, producer, was born. Also on this very day, 1922, the first duck-billed platypus was publicly exhibited in the U.S. In a New York zoo. How did you celebrate these events combined?
Well, you know, this is what a big day that we got to keep in mind. Like, this is huge. Like, the platypus reminds us that anything is possible. You know, think back to when you first saw one. You know, it was confusing. You're thinking, did an otter just Buffalo Bill a duck? Like, murder a duck and wear its face? Are those eggs? Does this animal raise chickens? Why, God? And the confusion is so strong, often you can't help but to grimace. So what was little Forrest Whitaker to do that hot Longview, Texas day at Caldwell Zoo? He was only 2 years old, and his young eyes lay their gaze upon the mystifying duck-billed egg-laying water cat. Young Forrest was so confused, he contorted his face so much that his eyes stuck that way, giving him the signature look we all know him for today. So in honor of this day, I watched Bird and thought, man, if only he'd never seen that platypus, I'd be able to believe that he was Charlie Parker. That's all I did today.
All right, very good, Alfonso. Thank you. Thanks. You've done well. Kasim.
Hey, what's up?
No more questions.
All right, fine.
On this day.
So I should ask my ex-wife.
Which one? Which one?
You got two?
Oh, this we'll talk about later.
Damn!
I was 19 and Christian. I wanted to have sex before Jesus came back.
So. Oh, you're like a Jonas brother.
A long time ago. On this day, 1864, a troop train loaded with Confederate prisoners collided with a coal train, killing 65, injuring 109. Also on this very day, 2006, Twitter is launched, becoming the world's largest social media platform. I just celebrate these events.
Now, see, this is very interesting because you somehow tap into the black world. I'm not fucking around, all right? Y'all don't know me, but I'm very big in the black community. 1864 was a major year for African Americans. That was when the hot comb was invented. Do not Google that. If I see a phone, I will fight one of you. Right? The real hot comb, not that Nazem CJ Watt, the real one. It was like a handheld joint. It didn't, you couldn't plug it in. It was like a cordless, right? It's a cordless hot comb, right? So you sit there, and then the first African-American bank opened. And also, this was the first, 1864 was the first time a white person ruined a black picnic by bringing white people potato salad. It had raisins and currants and shit. It had spicy mustard. It was horrible. Like, three people threw up. It was really weird. But 1864, knowing that a lot of, like, knowledgeable black people know about this, because for a lot of black people, like, a lot of our hobbies are descending the Confederacy and Ogden Sudoku. So I want to do the honor. The troop plane crash is understanding that it was almost 200 people that died. 200 Confederate white people. Do you not know how happy that would make a black person? Even if you didn't know what a Confederate was, that sounds very white. And then 200 white people almost died. That's like watching like Titanic. You know what I mean? It's like beautiful. So what I did was I decided that I really did this. I hope you guys saw it on my Twitter feed. Is that I'm a known black celebrity. I'm a known on black Facebook, all right? I'm not a black Twitter guy. But what I did too is that, because Twitter was on the same day, is that I assembled a majority of B level Black Hollywood stars, and we did our take on this event, and it was called Black is Cold Twitter, and it was 200 B level celebrities. So you had all the Wayans brothers. You know what I mean? That's about 80 right there. We had everyone has been in a Madea movie. That's about another 30-ish. We had many people. We had Brian Allen Rippey. We had the ghost of Gary Coleman. It was like there. We had a lot of people. And we also had Troop. Troop was in it because it gets to make it fuck with your head. You know what I mean? And we put it on Periscope. But it was mostly seen through Black Twitter. But the kicker was that because it was about the reaction of white people, the black, we all wore white face, but then wore black face. And only the real historians would know, but we were doing double face, all right?
Very good to see you.
Thank you. Oh, sit down! Sit down!
Jesse Jones, on this date, 1976, a 36-hour kidnapping of 26 school children and their school bus driver in California happened. I believe it was Chowchilla that happened. Also on this very date, 1909, Ty Cobb hits two inside the park home runs. How did you celebrate these events combined?
Well, I didn't really have time to actually celebrate these two things today, unfortunately. See, this afternoon I was chaperoning a 6th grade class field trip to see a Sacramento Rivercats game at Wrigley Field in West Sacramento. And sure, maybe I could have taken them to see like a Giants game here in San Francisco. But I thought a minor league baseball game would be a great opportunity to show these kids how to never give up on their dreams. Even if that means desperately clinging to them for as long as possible, well after they became laughably implausible. We hadn't even made it through the visiting team's warm-ups before. Many of the children began to beg me to let them go. I told them that nothing could save them now, and they weren't going anywhere until they learned to appreciate the majesty and pageantry of America's pastime. Connor Bishop told me that baseball was only America's pastime because 100 years ago, the only thing people had to root for besides baseball was not dying in a factory by age 9. I told Connor that I hoped he was hit in the face by a foul ball, and he said he did too. I write very small. By the third inning of the scoreless game, negotiations had begun to break down when Tiffany Wambach asked why the Round Rock Express's second baseman had gotten out so easily on purpose, it seemed. And I tried to explain that with no outs and a runner on second, he was just trying to advance the runner to third so the catcher, who was up next, could hit a sacrifice fly to score the runner from third. It was at that time that 26 children attempted to rush and overpower me, hoping to take my phone and call one of their parents to come pick them up. But I easily subdued them again and shoved Fat Jeremy down the stairs as a lesson to them all. During the seventh inning stretch, I told them if they didn't get up and sing like they meant it, that Donatello, the class guinea pig, just might mysteriously have an accident over there. After the game, I released the kids to their lead bus driver, and they sped away into the night with newfound appreciation for America's game. And I'll tell you what, after a lot of soul searching, I felt proud as fuck of myself.
This is the next segment. It's called the Top 5 Google Searches Of. Please have composed the Top 5 Google Searches from the following. Now that he's handed the Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton his endorsement, please compose the Top 5 Google Searches from the perspective of Bernie Sanders. And we'll do one at a time. Go ahead. Alfonso Perdomo.
Are Bernie memes still dank?
he's on one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's the first one would be how to run a kosher deli.
Jesse.
My first. Right now, a Google search today has an 87% chance of being a Bing by 2019.
Very good.
Fake first Jewish president certificate.
How to tell your fat black friend he has diabetes? That's what I'm trying to like. Sorry.
Less than 0.1% of all searches are for Lego porn. It's not really searching, it's more telling.
Right, yeah, yeah. He tells you to go.
DTF Bernie Babes.
Top five places to buy your boss a pantsuit.
Can I spend thousands of small individual donations on the Denny's senior menu?
Why isn't my shower making me feel less dirty?
I think at one point he would just get bored and just put Jew.
He's gonna search Jew.
Just like, he's got 5 minutes to kill. Me!
When did we get so many states? Last I remember, there were like 30-something.
Yo, Bernie, so Jewish jokes.
Bernie, so Jewish jokes. See?
Oh. Does Bernie Sanders look like an old Muppet? Let's say Waldorf or Statler.
The two guys that are playing. Yeah.
And the last one. If I stop running for president, will these Secret Service guys have to leave me so that I can just go shouting at my bird feeder like before?
All right, on the top five. Google searches. This next segment is called Reorganization. Please take this existing acronym, reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym is Obama. O-B-A-M-A, Obama. What does Obama mean to you?
So this is the future.
Sorry, this is the future.
This is what's going to be in the future. Right. 45 years after his last day in office, 5 years after Michelle left him for Jaden Smith in a highly publicized and controversial move, a lonely, elderly Barack Obama finds himself longing for company. Needing a friend, as many of his were long dead, he decides to begin a club, a man's club. He would go on to name it Club Obama, Old Black and Mexican Alliance Club, only to be reminded again, sadly, that the U.S. voted Mexicans to be exterminated in 2020. That's under President Trump. He continues to rethink this idea every day until he dies of heat stroke after the air conditioner in his room failed to work for 2 seconds. That's what Obama meant.
Very good. Very good. Alfonso Pertella. Christine, what is it about?
Obama, the Osama Bin Laden American Music Awards. The reason why I mean this is because Osama Bin Laden, if you guys haven't read, because I read the news because I'm better than y'all, is that his son is bound for revenge, and he will get it, because there's nothing worse than seeing your father get murdered, you know what I mean? And so he's gonna come take over this country. You guys are scared of Trump? Think of Osama Bin Laden Jr. You know what I mean? A fucking 12-year-old out here with his dead-ass dad and shit, he's gonna take over this country, and you know what he's gonna do? He's gonna take out the thing that we love most, his television, and have only one thing playing. The thing that we hate the most, the American Music Awards. That is like the white people's NAACP, like, it is the longest, most boring thing. It's like jacking off in the dark, you know what I mean? It is the saddest, longest thing. So just think about that as you watch the Osama Bin Laden American Music Awards, hosted by Ryan Seacrest, wearing a burqa, which he chose himself. We can finally be free.
This is ridiculous.
Thank you. Sit down.
Please,
roses?
Stacy, please. Again. Jesse, what does Obama mean to you?
Did you know that many of your favorite fast food restaurants and sit-down food service chain establishments offer optional bacon additions to almost any warm food order at little to no extra charge? It's true! Optional bacon is everywhere, just for the asking. Did you know that March is OBAM, or Optional Bacon Awareness Month? Well, if you didn't, you're not alone. You see, it seems a lot of people who like yourself, would be interested in knowing that there's a month dedicated to informing you that Optional Bacon is a reality, but don't know that there's a whole month for their awareness. And that's why the people behind OBAM, or Optional Bacon Awareness Month, have launched their new OBAMA campaign, or Optional Bacon Awareness Month Awareness. This way people can be more made aware of the month intended to make them more aware of their ability to optionally add bacon to almost any warm food item they can imagine. Right now, OBAMA, or Optional Bacon Awareness Month Awareness, is just a one-time event. But the OBAM folk are considering expanding OBAMA into its own month, or OBAMAM. Meaning Optional Bacon Awareness Month, Awareness Month. An entire month to help raise awareness for Optional Bacon Awareness Month. To help raise awareness for Optional Bacon. Awareness. Yay, bacon!
This next segment is called Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles that I made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided title. Alfonso Portela, the name of your title, movie title. It's called Just Boil It. Just Boil It. What's that about?
Okay, it's Just Boil It. So it's one of the biggest days of Guillermo Alvarez's life. It's the first day of high school. He's determined to be one of the most popular ninth graders at Carter High. There's only one problem. Upon looking in the mirror that morning, Guillermo discovers that he has a disfiguring boil on his face. How is he going to be the coolest ninth grader when it looks like he's smuggling an egg under his cheek? Panicked, he asks his dad for advice. His dad says, "Son, don't let the other kids know the boil bothers you. That gives them power. Don't see it like a weakness. Use it. Don't try to avoid it. Lean into it, son. Lean into the boil." Guillermo goes to school that day and decides to be confident. He approaches another kid, also new to the school, and says, "Hey, are you a freshman too?" "Yeah," the kid says sheepishly, caught off guard by Guillermo's glowing blemish. "Lean into my boil!" shouts Guillermo. Scared and confused, the kid leans into Guillermo's face with his face, thinking, this is going to be the worst year ever. While Guillermo thinks, my dad was right, this year's going to be all right. Guillermo does this with every kid he meets who is smaller than him. He finds that he is the head. He found that all the kids that he forces to lean into his boil respect him, and the ladies do too. Guillermo continues to do this for weeks. Even the teachers are impressed with this young man's confidence, despite how gross his face is. That is, until one morning he finds the boil is gone, and with it, his command over his classmates. What else will he tell them to lean against? Now, without the boil, Guillermo thinks that there's nothing left for his classmates to think is cool. How will he command their respect? Without his infected follicle, he must now truly find out what it is that makes him special. He must find his confidence from within. He thinks back to his dad's advice. Don't let them see or bother. Lean into it. Command their respect. That day, Guillermo goes to school and approaches one of his friends and says to him, look at the spot on my face my boil used to be! Starring Malcolm Jamal Warner as Guillermo and Danny DeVito as the boil.
Very good. I'll also tell that joke. Christine Bentley, the name of your movie is called Kissing Them Gently.
Yeah.
Christine Bentley, Kissing Them Gently.
Well, I want to, once again, I'm all about not just entertainment, it's about education. And you bring the two together and you make edutainment. That's also a very lowly rated KRS-One album for all the hip hop heads that all of you guys are in here. Maybe the kid with the hat. I saw Kiss Him Gently, and I just want to let you guys know, in addition to comedy, I'm a big historian of black pornography. I don't see what's so fucking funny. This is some serious business. I have a large collection, and I thought about a guy that really changed my life, Rodney Nippy Johnson. He had the most sensitive nipples in black pornography. If you know, I think you're a pervert, you remember. He was a big star with VHS, hardcore, interracial, BBW porn, you know what I mean? He was really big. He was the first black guy in the feet. It was really interesting. So I want to make Kiss Him Gently, where we go with Nippy and we star Kevin Hart, because he does all the movies. And we go on his journey from the mean streets of Compton, where he chose not to be a gangbanger, but to go on pornography. That's all he's got. And the trials and tribulations of having the most sensitive nipples in pornography. And would also star Rihanna, as his lover.
I can't
even.
That
works
good.
But it sounds good, doesn't it? Because
it really could work.
Yeah, it could really work. Because he greatly regrew the prominence, just like his nipples. When his catchphrase, kiss him gently, became his catchphrase, and over across the nation, you hear him, kiss him gently. As he would plow through these 300-pound white women, you know, and suck on their feet, right? I figured that it'd be directed by Quentin Tarantino. But it would only come out on title. You know what I mean? So that part's for the black people. Me. Alright. Kiss
on title.
On title. Title is Jay-Z's. Okay. Whatever. Alright.
I'll read it on my Twitter.
Yeah. Right there.
Very good. Christine Bentley.
Thank you.
Kiss on title.
Oh my god. Please. Put your panties back on.
Jesse Jones. Name of your movie. The City Kitty Gang. The City Kitty Gang.
Yeah. See if I can get Cassim to shake his head in disapproval of this one.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why. That's just what I'm looking for.
Little Whiskerkin's furry toes was the baddest some bitch would ever chase a butterfly. And all the pussy on the street knew. They learned it the hard way. That was until Prancy Paws Her Majesty showed up on the scene, batting around that piece of ribbon like she fucking owned the place. And it was then that all the city kiddies knew it was time to pick a side in this adorable cuddle fest of a turf war that was gonna leave no blanket unhidden under and no bag of treats unpounced upon. The first lieutenant to fall in line behind Whiskey King's furry toes was Fluffernut Cutie Pie. Fluffernut and Whiskey King's went back a long way. They rolled around in the same leaf pile in the old neighborhood. That's the kind of bond you don't turn your back on so easy. Not like Tiny Face. Nah. Tiny Face Snuggle Bottom always had it in for Whiskey Kids. Ever since he swiped Tiny Face's Squeaky Mouse, Whiskey Kids tried to tell Tiny Face it was an accident. And it was nothing personal. He even brought him a pretty bird feather he found in the lawn as a show of respect. But Tiny Face always held on to that deep down in his worm-ridden heart. With Tiny Face Snuggle Bottom, Prancy Paw soon filled up a fuzzy little army of purr boxes. Little Woodle Cuddle Boy, Jambo Wrinkle Nose, Socks Magox, even Nuzzle Wuzzle Boop. They all felt the winds of change blowing and squinted their little eyes hard against it, hating every second of it. Whiskey King's knew if he was going to have any chance to keep away scratched and clawed for all his life, he's going to have to go to a dark place and call in some favors. He was going to have to recruit that stupid barking dog. Nobody knew his real name. That's just what everybody called him. That stupid barking dog was going to be Whiskerkin's ace in the hole. May Kitty God have mercy on his other 8 souls. City Kitty Gang, rated PG-13. Without Pacino as Tiny Face Snuggle Bottom, John Turturro as Whiskey Kid's Furry Toes, and Vin Diesel as that stupid barking dog.
Good Mika. That brings us to our... We missed that joke about the ones that change. This next segment is our final segment of the evening. Thank you guys for sticking with us. This last segment is called Write an Erotic Poem About It. Please have written an erotic poem about the following topics. Alfonso Portella, please have written an erotic poem about maps. Maps.
Ooh, your lies. I look at them and I don't know what to make of you. Veiny. You know it's flattering when you tell me my penis is as big as Russia. I want to navigate every curve on your body. I can't get lost. You won't let me. In the car? Sure. Gas station? Okay. The toilet? Maybe. I want you badly. As badly as you are confusing to anyone born after 1988. Now that's badly.
northwest.
All right. So I want you guys to close your eyes. I want you to imagine you're in a black poetry event in Harlem in the early 90s when poetry was tolerable. So your incense is flowing, like shea butter is just running amok. Someone's lighting some weed. It's about midnight. The star poet comes out, you know, and like your name is like, your name really is Karen, but it's like, you know, like K-Star or something. And she has like beats, like when Stevie Wonder would have beats, because he don't got good friends, so they just let him braid his hair and that bullshit, and it sounds like wind chimes. All right, but then it comes up, and it's like, all right, when you close your eyes, it's like, y'all, and then the host is always a sassy host. It's like, y'all ready for the final poet? I said, y'all ready for your final poet? That's what I'm talking about. Now, she came all the way here from Brooklyn, so you should know she took two trains. That's a very, very good reference. You've seen her on MTV Unplugged, the poetry edition. You've seen her on BET Poetry Unplugged, the poetry edition. You will also see her selling fish dinners outside. Give it up real big for K-Star. We got snap your fingers. And she's like, okay, imagine. So like she's like 5'11", biracial, big curly hair, looks like some kind of bramble bush or some shit, right? And she comes out, and she just looks like, it's like, it's if Tracy Ellis Ross was sexy, you know what I mean? Comes out, so and she comes out with that breathy voice, it's like, how y'all doing? I said, my people, how are you doing? Now, I've been traveling this whole damn nation. I've been all over America, 3 Ks, performing my poetry. And people, I will tell you, there are beautiful people in the Pacific Northwest, all right? And I will tell you, I've fallen in love, and the crowd goes, ah, and this is my last poem, and I want to tell you the poem I just wrote on the train while a homeless man was trying to put his dick on me. I wrote this as a goodbye to you, New York, and so it comes out, and the lights come really down there, and the poem is called Notorious PNW, and it's like, why am I doing this? I want you beyond the words on this page. I want the touch of your thin, cold white lips. Against my frigid, leathery skin. I want the rush of your mint-covered fingertips. Under me, as we walk into Voodoo Donuts. The union, the Western Union of us in the passion of stars, and to dance the wonder of a jam band. Sweet ass Navajo sheets that we bought from a Native American on the side of the road who kindly asked us to turn down that horrible music. But we just kept playing Tom Petty. I don't like Tom Petty. Soft pillows, the whisper of your ice light breath, the rhythm of your steampunk heart. I want to hear the song you moan as we embrace. I will whisper your name. 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 I will whisper your name, Portland. I will whisper your name, Seattle. I will whisper your name, Eugene. Which I love is your name. In the moments we share beyond the words on this page. Thank you, good night. I'll be selling fish dinners outside.
This brings us to a final expression. Writing an erotic poem about it, that's what we're still doing. Jesse Jones, please have written an erotic poem about new car smell. New car smell.
This one is titled Tiny Cardboard Trees. Feel like the inside of a sack full of moldy granite, but you smell oh so wonderful, I can just hardly stand it. See, you look like a pileup on Highway 19, just carnage and gore for as far as it's seen, but you smell so fresh, so new, so clean. Sound, you sound like the ghost of a clumsy asthmatic rooster, cursed to forever stumble around a rusty chain store and never to leave. But you smell like a lie I just want to believe. Taste, you taste like a porn theater welcome mat. Boiled in an SPCA janitor's sink. But you smell like something that just don't stink. 1 out of 5 of my senses agree. You're the one that I want, the one that's for me. If only I couldn't touch, hear, taste, or see, then maybe, just maybe, we could make a disgusting baby.
Very good, that was episodes will be out next week or so. So thank you guys very much for coming out. Good night.